wonder how many of us tonight are free as opposed to being in fear. You know, we live in fear a lot more than we ought to. And I've got a lot of verses tonight. I'll just say it that way. But it all starts with one area in your Scripture. If you go to the book of Matthew, the 14th chapter. Matthew chapter 14. If you would, stand with us as we read in the Word of God tonight. Can I just tell you this evening, it's not found in your Bible 365 times where God says, "Be not afraid." Leastwise, not in your King James Bible, all right? I haven't researched any others. There's actually no software written on all of those where you can do that. But anyways, in your King James Bible, it is found 28 times, "Be not afraid." I'm going to tell you, that says something right there. 4 times 7. Gospel times God's completeness. That tells you something right there. Lord, tonight, just have your way. Let's not be afraid, nor let us be dismayed. But dear God, instead let us be obedient. Let us be willing. And dear God, let us allow You to accomplish. Lord, that's my desire tonight, and that's my prayer. And I'll give You glory in Jesus' name. And amen. And amen. You may be seated. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. "And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him onto the other side," or "unto the other side, while He sent the multitude away. And when He had sent the multitude away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray." I'm going to tell you something this evening, church. If God in the flesh, if Jesus Christ takes time to pray, ought not you and I take time to pray? I mean, this ought to say something to us tonight. Now, I didn't even think about this part and didn't even go and think about it this afternoon, but you know, it just hit me right there. He had accomplished, He had preached, He had delivered, He had fed. I mean, to tell you, He had done miracle, and everybody's astonished at the miracle. Everything's where it is. He's got a multitude of people there, and as He's there, He's sending them away. But when it's all said and done, our Lord takes time to pray. Why did He pray? Did He go to God and say, "Father, was I right? Did what I just see happen really happen?" Or do you think He took time to just simply go and praise and worship and glorify the Father and to thank Him for what He'd done and then to ask Him how to continue on? I mean, He wanted to do exactly what the Father wanted Him to do. Say, "Brother Ernie, we don't know that." No, we don't, but I'm just here to tell you, He took time to pray. "And when the evening was come, He was there alone in the ship, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea." Now I want you to understand something else. When Jesus was walking out there, what does the Bible say had already occurred? The wind was already blowing. The waves were already tossing. And Jesus went on anyways. Aren't you glad tonight that Jesus is not afraid? I mean, stop and think about it this evening. The winds is blowing, the waves are going, and the ship is out in the midst. But Jesus is not afraid to go unto the people. He's not afraid to go unto His disciples. And so in the fourth watch of the night, He went walking, the Bible says, went unto them walking on the sea. All the trouble of the sea, the waves and everything else, Jesus was not afraid of. And on the same hand, He was above because He was walking above the waters, on the water. Said when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. What are they afraid of? This has never happened before. This has never been seen before. And in this, they were certain that something terrible is about to happen. This has got to be a spirit. But I want you to understand something. In verse 27, 9 times 3, the fruit of the Spirit in the Trinity had approached. If you think about that this evening, 9 is the number of the fruit of the Spirit, 3 being the number of Trinity, the number of life. On the third day, our Lord arose again. Think about that, church. He arose again on the third day. These disciples, no doubt, were already afraid of what was going on, troubled in their minds. They did not understand, but they were not comprehending what they were seeing. They were afraid of the Spirit, but here comes life and deliverance. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I." Well, how many times in your life did you need to hear that? How many times in our lives did we go through things and we're afraid and we're not understanding, so to say. Maybe we just can't comprehend, and yet we're doing what God tells us to do. And as we're doing what God tells us to do, because He just said that He sent them ahead of Him in the ship. He said, "Go on out ahead of me." Now think about it, church. He said He would never leave us nor forsake us, and yet by themselves in the midst of the sea, tempted and tossed by the winds and the waves, He comes walking there and He says unto them, "Be of good cheer, it is I." He doesn't show up late, He shows up right. Be not afraid. Boy, how many times have we heard that and still were terrified and afraid because of what we've seen that was going on instead of seeing who was coming on. Can you get that tonight? Afraid of what was going on instead of who was coming on. When Jesus shows up on the scene, you know something good is about to happen. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come to Thee on the water." I don't have a problem with throwing out a fleece there. I mean, after all, never been seen before, never been done before. But I like what God had written down here, what He said. This one simple word, Jesus said, "Come." Didn't explain how. He didn't tell him, "Wait for the waves to calm down, wait for the wind to calm down." He didn't say, "Get out on the right side or the left side, the front side or the back side." He didn't say, "Bring a rope with you." He didn't say, "Grab a floating device." Didn't say, "Come in a boat." He just said, "Come." Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight, church. You say, "Brother Ernie, it doesn't say that any of that was necessary." I'm just telling you this. Peter said, "Lord, if it be Thou, Thee, bid me come to Thee on the water." And He said, "Come." He was saying, if you got the faith to step out, come on. How many times we don't have the faith to step out after asking God what to do, and He says to do it, and we don't do it because we're afraid. For a moment in time, Jesus caught the eye of Peter long enough for Peter not to be afraid. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw... I've preached on this many times about it. But look at this. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Why did Peter sink? Because he was afraid. Why do we quit doing what we're supposed to do? Because we're afraid. I didn't mean to throw Zach off tonight, and I don't know if I did or I didn't tonight, but I just sat up here tonight, and I just sang, sitting in that seat right there, and I just sang the way I wanted to sing. I didn't care. I added some words. I echoed some words. I changed some words. I just did it the way I wanted to do it, the way that I felt like God would allow me to sing. And that's what I did. I wasn't afraid. And when I sung a while ago, I want you to know, I wasn't trying to please nobody but God, but I closed my eyes so I wouldn't see you because I did not want to be afraid. Peter sank because he was afraid. It wasn't... Jesus didn't change. When Jesus told Peter to come, Peter was looking at Jesus. The answer that Peter got was not, "Okay, Peter, it's me. You can come on. You can trust me." It was just simply, he said, "Bid thou me come to thee on the water." And Jesus simply said, "Come." And Peter went. Can I ask you a question? When Jesus left the shore, was the wind boisterous? That's what my Bible tells me. Was the waves tossing? That's what my Bible tells me. When Jesus got closer to the ship, was the wind boisterous? That's what my Bible tells me. Was the waves tossing? That's what my Bible tells me. But for one moment in time, however long it was that Jesus was there, Peter heard the words, he heard the voice, he understood who he was talking to. I believe the clarity of it. Remember, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and know me, and I know my sheep." In other words, he said they understand the voice that's calling, the voice they hear. They know it's mine and not somebody else's. And Peter knew that was the voice of Christ. He may not have been able to see Him clear because of the winds and the waves. He may not have been able to make Him out for sure. After all, they thought it was a spirit. But one of the things that Peter knew for a fact is the voice that said, "Come," sounded like Jesus. And so he went. Peter didn't sink because the wind was blowing and the waves were tossing. He sunk because he was afraid. The Bible says he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand, caught him and said... You know, He didn't wait to get back into the ship to talk to Peter about it. Kind of like Daddy. I remember there was times when I was off doing something I shouldn't have been doing, and Daddy'd come and find me, and on the way back we'd be talking about it. You know, sometimes we talked with a switch. Daddy did the talking and I did the feeling. Sometimes it was a belt. Sometimes it was a voice. And sometimes it was one of the other two. The voice and the switch or the voice and the belt. But we was having a conversation about what was going on. The Bible says that Jesus immediately caught Peter. I've heard people say this. Well, when he reached down and caught him, immediately they were on board the ship. That's not what my Bible says. I don't know, but I believe it this way. Soon as the Lord picked him up, they started a conversation. Because immediately the Bible says, Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? You know, people say, well, Peter should have never doubted there was Jesus. People say that, well, you know, why did Jesus let him sink? And there's all kinds of questions, but the simplest fact that this was, Peter got afeared and sank because he was afraid. And Jesus said, why were you afraid? O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Why are you afraid, Peter? Why did you get afraid, Peter? What's the problem, Peter? It's a real simplistic question there. The answer is Peter looked the wrong way for a moment in time. Can I tell you something? Look at what he said. And I think this next verse confirms my thought that they were still in the water. It says, because when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Can I tell you something else? When you read it, you realize this. That when Jesus was coming, the wind was blowing, the waves were tossing. When Peter was going, the wind was blowing, the waves was tossing. And when Peter sank, the wind was blowing and the waves was tossing. He cried out. He was lifted up by Christ. And Christ asked him in the midst of the storm, why did you doubt? Prove it, Brother Ernie. Read that verse. Oh, he said, O thou of little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt? That's when he brought him up. And then it says, and when they were come into the ship. So they had to go to the ship. Can you imagine this? Peter and Jesus walking on the water together in the wind and in the waves. In other words, he come to meet them when they was in the tossing too. And when he met them in the tossing too, there was faith to approach Jesus in the tossing too. And Peter sank in the tossing too. Jesus saved him in the tossing too. And when they was on the way back, Jesus said, why did you doubt in the tossing too? And when they got to where the boat was, you would have thought they'd have felt safe. But that's when things calmed down. Why? Because now he wants to know why the rest of them didn't get out of the boat. It doesn't say that, Brother Arnie. Nope, it don't. But can I ask you a question tonight? Why is it every time one does something by faith and another criticizes them when it doesn't go the way that they think that it should? But they wasn't even willing to get out of the boat. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over there, they came in the land of the Gennesarets. I just want you to know something tonight, church. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You hang on with me for a minute tonight. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 20. I don't have enough bookmarks. I didn't bring my iPad, so I don't have these screenshots. So we're going to have to just turn to them. And I didn't write down all 28 just so that you're not afraid. But I wrote down most of them. Can I tell you something else, church? We're not going to turn into pumpkins at 5 o'clock. You know how many times I shut down a service because of time? We're not going to turn into pumpkins just because it turns 5 o'clock. No wonder the church is dried up, burnt out. Don't stay around long enough to get anything going. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1. The Lord said, "When thou goest in the battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them." Catch those three words. Be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. What's that song we sing? He lift me up out of the miry clay. Think about it. Another one. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. What? We sang it tonight. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So when thou goest out to battle against thine enemy, remember the Bible tells us in Peter, he said, that your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Who's your enemy? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places, against the rulers of darkness of this world. Think about it. And I know I didn't get that just right, but you can find it over there in Ephesians in chapter 6 there, the whole armor of God. But listen, he said, when thou goest out to battle, now friend, we got to set our minds sometime to go out to battle, because we're hiding inside the cabinets. And you see horses and chariots and people more than thou. I'm going to tell you, there's more lost folks than there is saved folks every day of the week. There's more folks who don't care whether or not this church is existing than there is folks that care if it does. You ever thought about that? Be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Who saved you, church? Who redeemed you? Who called you out of the sinful life that you were in? Who changed you and gave you a new life and gave you a new heart? The Bible said He took out the stony heart of flesh and He gave you a new heart. Joshua chapter 1. Turn to your right. That's how brother was preacher. I'm going to try to figure out who he is and send him an email. He was learning something and preaching to his church about it. I'm going to see if I can talk him into something else to learn. But he's telling this congregation this morning, as we listened to the message, He was telling them which way to turn in their Bible. As he was going through there, he'd say, "Let's go to this scripture. Turn to your right." So they'd turn to the right to find. He'd get now. He said, "We're going to go to this scripture. You'll have to turn to your left." So they, and then he said something that I love. He said, "Oh, it's good to hear those pages turning." He said, "None of these scriptures will be flashed on the wall this morning." You know what he had realized in his church? They had the projector. They had the screens. But the people had laid down their Bibles. What's wrong with the church? Laying down our Bibles. Joshua chapter 1. Verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have a good success." Remember the book? The book? "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid." You know what? Some people don't know what God said because they don't read their Bible. They don't know what God has said other than what the preacher says. And by the way, I don't know that I'm dyslexic in reading. My wife thinks maybe I've got some dyslexia and it's getting worse instead of better. But sometimes I say one word before another word. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. You can say one word before another word in the way that it's written, and you'll change the meaning altogether. And if we're not doing that, listen, instead of saying, "Be not afraid," what if I accidentally read it and it said, "Be afraid"? Think about it. If you don't read your Bible, you don't know. When somebody says something's in the Scripture and you never search to find it out, you don't know. And I heard that phrase, and I've seen people post it, and I'll just tell you this tonight. I saw it in the movie. I saw somebody post on it. The Bible says 365 times, be not afraid or do not fear. And I looked it up in every way that I could, and you can't find it in there anywhere in the Scripture where it says it 365 times. But like I said, I'm glad to know tonight I found it 28 times, because that's the gospel truth, and it's God's gospel. And that's sufficient. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. Be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. Now think about it. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, in the Great Commission, right? "Lo, I am with thee always, even unto the ends of the world." God said, "I'm with you." Chapter 11, verse 6. "And the Lord said to Joshua, be not afraid because of them." Peter, why are you afraid of the water and the wind? I was there. God says to Joshua, get the book out. Study the book. Be of good courage. Be of strength. Be not afraid. The Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time I will deliver them upon all... Excuse me. I will deliver them up all slain before Israel. Thou shalt hold their horses and burn their chariots with fire. What's God going to do to the enemy, church? We all like to say it, right? I read the back of the book. We win. Who wins? We say we win. Who's we? The church wins. Not because the church is a winner, but because Christ is victorious and we're on the side of Christ. Therefore, we're on the winning team. Amen. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of them. Tomorrow you're going to see them about this time and they're going to be dead. My enemy's not going to win. My enemy's going to die. You say, Brother Arnie, are you rejoicing in the fact that people are going to die? I'm rejoicing in the fact that Jesus Christ is victorious and Satan is on his way to a lake of fire that burneth forever and ever and ever and ever. Brother Don says, we'll black his eyes and bloody his nose, give him an uppercut and bust his lips. He's lost, church. He's lost. And we ought to just tell him, he's a loser. But we're afraid. 2 Kings chapter 1. Verse 15. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him. Aren't you glad? Not only God sent him, but he sent a messenger. He sends somebody to help you remind sometimes. The angel of the Lord, I honestly think the angel of the Lord is Jesus. You find all through the Scripture there where it's talked about it. And I'll just say this, when it didn't say the angel of the Lord, it said two angels talking about others, or it would even name the angel. But when it said the angel of the Lord, I think that's Jesus showing up. You say, Brother Ernie, you prove me wrong. The form of the fourth is like what? The Son of God. The angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. Oh, church, go with God, and go when God tells you to go. You're going to be all right, but if you don't, you're going to be all wrong. Chapter 19. Verse 6, and as Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Now I'll tell you something else. I don't want you to spend a lot of time backgrounding or nothing like that, but can I tell you this? There are a lot of times people try to tell you something to scare you, to keep you from doing what God would have you to do. And they'll say great swelling words so that it would be that, well, if I do this, then this is going to happen. And if I do that, then this is going to happen. And we'll get to it. The Bible plainly tells us not to be afraid of them who can only kill the body. You understand? This body will die. But I'm not worried about this body. I'm worried about my soul. Where's my soul going to go? Second Chronicles. Like I said, you're not going to turn into a pumpkin. I'm going to read them. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 7. Be strong and courageous, be not afraid, nor be dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. Can I ask you a question? How does an army of thousands go up against the army of tens of thousands? How does an army of one go up against the army of ten? Well, Elijah was the prophet of God, right? And he went up against the prophets of Baal. And when they gathered all together and everybody was there in the midst, who was bigger? The army that was behind Elijah when Elijah began to pray. The army that's God's army. Be not afraid of them, because there's more with us than there is with them. Amen. Hey, when God sends the backup, you can be sure it's enough. Yeah. I remember the story of the missionary, and I've shared this with you before. But there's a story of a missionary who was over in a foreign country, and I don't remember where, but he was over there, and basically they had told them to get out or die. And so they were all gathered in a house there and one night, and basically they told them, you either get out by this time, or if you don't get out, you're dead. We're coming to get you. And so that night they were in there. They didn't leave. They didn't feel like God was telling them to leave. But they was in the house and they was praying and they just kept waiting. They could hear the enemy out. They were all around the house. I mean, they told them they heard them all night long and they could just hear them. And just wondering, when were they coming in? When were they going to get them? When were they going to kill them? And all night long it went on. And then in the morning time, when it was all said and done, the missionary went outside and there was a guy that came out and he asked the missionary, why did you not come in and get us? He said, who are all those men surrounding your house last night? When God sends the backup, it's enough. Proverbs chapter 3 went too far. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 25 says, "Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken." Are you getting these scriptures tonight, church? I mean, let's think about this for a minute. There's an enemy. Oh, but there's a captain. My God sits on high. He's not afraid to come down and help. They say, well, he shows up right on time. He's always there. Just God doesn't have to show out. Isaiah chapter 10. Verse 24. "Therefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwell in Zion, be not afraid of the Syrian. He shall smite thee with a rod and shall lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt for yet a very little while. And the indignation shall cease and mine anger in their destruction. And the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him according to the slaughter of the Midian of the rock of Oreb. And his rod was upon the sea. So shall he lift up after the manner of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. He has come to Aethia. He is passed to Migron and Damascus. He hath laid up of cherubim." Listen to me. It boils down to this: when it's all said and done, when God takes over, the things that are burdensome to us now will no longer be a burden. The slavery will no, the captivity will no longer be a captivity. When God is done, sometimes chastising us, He delivers us. Isaiah chapter 37, verse 6. "And Isaiah said unto them, Thus saith ye, say unto your masters, Thus saith the Lord, Be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherein thy servant of the king of Syria hath blasphemed me." That's just a repeat of earlier, but think about it this way. Don't be afraid of what people say to you. Don't be afraid of what people can do to you. Be afraid of Him, who when He says it, settles it. Chapter 40, verse 9. "O Zion, thou bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength lifted up. Be not afraid, say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God." "Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him." You can read on through there. Well, I'm telling you what, we ought to be declaring, "Behold your God," showing people Jesus every day of our lives. Jeremiah chapter 1, I'll try to hurry through these a little bit better. Chapter 1, verse 8. Let me just go backwards. Verse 6 says, "Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Church, let me just say this, put our faith and trust in God. And if we're going to sing the song, Little as Much, when God is in it, just remember this, God doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the called. Jeremiah 42 and 11. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon. You ever thought about this? There's kings all over this place God's telling you not to be afraid of. Hey, there's a lot of people with power in places. But don't be afraid of those people in power. Be afraid of Him who's got all power. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord. For I am with you to save you and deliver you from his hand. Ezekiel chapter 2. Verse 6. Let's see. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor dismayed at their looks, though they be rebellious, a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. Just say the truth, whether they're going to hear it or not. And can I tell you something else? We're afraid a lot of times because of the way people look at us. You ever thought about it? People get into church and they sit back there and all of a sudden you're preaching and they go, it's like they're trying to figure out if anybody else has got the same time they got because it's time to shut up. Matthew chapter 14. Now we're getting to a few places where I was going to be tonight before I decided to do all of this. But we're getting closer towards the end, church. Matthew chapter 14. Wait, I started in Matthew chapter 14. I'm sorry. I missed something somewhere. Matthew chapter 9. Oh, that's right, because it's on the other page. When we believe that God can do something, now think about this, then we're no longer afraid. But we have faith. That's where a couple of these verses come in. And I'm changing it just a little bit because these are what I have. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 28 says, and when he was come into the house, the blind man came to him. And Jesus saith unto him, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, be it unto you. What does that mean? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Matthew chapter 17. Verse 7, and Jesus came and touched him and said, arise and be not afraid. You think about this. If you go back and look at it, said, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, the voice of the cloud, and said, this is my beloved Son. They're seeing the transfiguration of Jesus, whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. When His disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. Boy, when God does something wonderful, don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of it. Matthew chapter 28, verse 10, then Jesus said, be not afraid, go tell thy brethren, they go into Galilee, there shall they see me. This is after His resurrection. I'm going to tell you, if you want to be startled at something, you probably would be startled when you see Jesus, whom you thought was dead and is not dead. When you looked in the tomb, He wasn't there. And the next thing you know, you see Him. But ain't you glad that He keeps just saying, be not afraid. Don't be afraid. Go tell somebody. Go tell somebody. Mark chapter 5. Got just a couple more. Verse 36. I just want to read them. As soon as Jesus had heard the word which was spoken, He said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. By the way, this man's daughter had just died, so he was told. But Jesus said, don't be afraid, just believe. You come to Me, you sought Me, here's My answer. Don't be afraid, but believe. Chapter 6, verse 50. And for they all saw Him and were troubled, and immediately He talked to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And when He had went up with them into the ship, the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wonder. Hey, when He showed up, He told them not to be afraid. Things happened, and they were just mind-blowingly in that aspect. I'll skip the next two to get the last two. Acts chapter 18 and verse 9. Acts 18, verse 9. Actually, let's go ahead and back up. And He said in verse 7, He departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined her hard to the synagogue in Cyprus. Or in Cyprus, the chief of the ruler's synagogue believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, said, be not afraid, but speak. And hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set thee to hurt, for I have much people in this city. Can I tell you something else? God doesn't just have to use the angels. He can use those around you. But do you realize what's going on here? Conversion is happening. No doubt there's always an uprising, but God says to Paul, don't be afraid, but speak. Tell the truth. Tell it like it is. Maybe that's a word for me tonight. And the last one is in 1 Peter. We was there this morning, chapter 3. Start in verse 12 and we'll read, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an account or an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you, your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. And I'm thankful tonight for that very thought. And because of that tonight, I'll end with this. I read this Wednesday night, and I don't mean to fib to you, but I'll end with this. I want you to think about this. when we walk in the things that God would have us to do, when we are the things that God would have us to be, and we abide faithfully in the Lord, there are things that God will do for us, to us, that just can't be done otherwise. And in verse 14 of chapter 3 of the book of Ephesians, it says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole body in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glories to be strengthened with your might in the spirit of the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints that is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." In verse 20, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the churches by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." You and I tonight, if we're not afraid, we'll see what God can do beyond what we even think God can do or will do. But we'll see more than we ever thought because of faith instead of fear. Would you stand? Father, tonight I'm thankful and I'm grateful, Lord, for Your Word. I'm grateful tonight for Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace. I'm thankful tonight for knowing Your power and Your presence. I just ask You, Father, Lord, tonight, let it not be, Lord, the crescendo, but Father, let it be just the starting of things to come, things to happen, Lord, for us at this church. Dear God, help us not be afraid, but help us, Father, instead be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Oh Lord, that we know that our labors in You are not in vain. Father, tonight we thank You and we'll praise You, Father, in Jesus' name. In His name. Amen. Is there anything on anybody's heart this evening they want to pray about before that we dismiss? I sure appreciate your patience tonight. Pray that these things will go home with you, these words. God's Word will go